Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around today. John Dini is our guest. He's the president of Management Performance Network. He's the author of 103 Tips for Better Hiring, and he's a longtime member of our Brain Trust and our good friend, and he's going to talk to us about how to grow our personal services businesses. John Dini, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you back, as always. You know, John, as you know, I used to be a consultant. I used to work with small business owners and medium-sized businesses, even some banks. In a former life, did that full time, and one of the challenges that I had as a part of the time being 100% extension of myself, meaning I didn't have any partners for part of the time that I was doing that, was I had the challenge of knowing how to, of figuring out how to grow this business, because there was just one of me, and there was a finite, which is finite, and then there's the finite thing about only 24 hours in the day, and then some of that you got to sleep, and so it's really a challenge for personal services, people who have personal services business, to grow their business, isn't it?
It is, Jim, and you know the curse of success can kill you.
Yeah.
When you start out, clients are, quite frankly, anybody who's on your doorstep with check in hand. You're not too worried about filling up all those days. And then after a while, if you're good at what you do, you become successful, and you start getting a little more selective as to your clients. And then after a while, you find out no matter how selective you are, you have too much work to get done in a reasonable amount of time and still have a life.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, how do you accept more clients, make more money, build a company, means making money through others, without beginning to have that service that you've become known for deteriorate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and especially if you, when you start out, as you say, I mean, I remember when I first started out, one of the things that my clients liked about me was that they just got all kinds of personal services, you know, thrown at them, it was like I was, it was almost like I was just right there beside them all the time. And then as I got more clients, you know, it seemed like even as try as hard as I might, it seemed like I wasn't able to give them quite as much as they had in the early days. And you have to figure out how to manage those relationships, keep those people happy, keep them coming back. And it's hard to wean them off of you onto somebody else, isn't it?
Right. They all know they're dealing with the owner. Even when you're the owner and you're also the secretary and the receptionist and the janitor, they don't seem to mind that.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, when you send them the secretary or the receptionist or the janitor to do the work, they're not nearly as happy.
Right. So how do we do this? How do we solve this problem?
Well, there's basically two ways to go.
Or let me back up. I didn't mean to call it a problem, folks. That's not really what it is. It's a challenge because this is not a negative thing. This is a good thing. So. But it is a challenge that needs to be turned into an opportunity. Let me say it that way.
It's funny you call it a problem. It's the problem we all wish we have when we start up our companies.
It's a high-class problem.
Right.
So what do we do?
You can either grow by bringing in young folks who you can train in your systems. Presumably you have systems. Or you can go out and find someone equally as talented as you are, which is a challenge on a whole different level.
And see, I never was able to do that. I mean, I never was able to find anybody as smart as me, John. That was part of my problem.
It's funny how many of us have that opinion. There's probably a whole bunch of folks in town that look on me in the same light.
Yeah. I can see that, John. Now that we've awakened from our dream, let's take the next step.
Well, you know, like we said, there's two ways to go. And both of them involve the potential of an exit strategy, too. Remember, as long as you're doing all the work, you don't have anything to sell.
Right.
And if you ever want to stop doing the work and walk away with some value for all that sweat equity you put in for all those years, you've got to have somebody to sell it to, and it's certainly not going to be some stranger off the street that wants to get into the personal services business.
Now, when John says you don't have anything to sell, he means in terms of an exit strategy.
Correct.
Right.
So, you know, the first and most important thing is to know where you're going. What is your time frame? How long do you want to do this? Very few of us sit down and figure out that plan. I ask typical small business personal services, whether it's an engineer, an attorney, an architect, interior designer, accountant, you know, when are you going to get out of this? They're like, well, I enjoy what I do, and I don't have any set date.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a killer, because too often they say, they wake up and say, you know, I've decided what my date is. It's 4 years from now or five years from now. And in a small business, although 5 years seems like a real long time, it may not be long enough to plan on how you're going to move on.
Well, this is where I think people get a little bit, they get a little bit sideswiped, John, because they know they're in a small business, and they know they can literally turn their business around in a few weeks, if not months, if you know, maybe at the most a year. They can completely redirect it. They can do a lot of different things very nimbly as a small business. But one of the things they can't do, the only part about a small business that's more like a long freight train that takes, you know, forever to turn around is the getting out part, isn't it?
Correct.
And they get lulled into thinking that they can move quickly, but in terms of an exit strategy, that's a long-term process.
Right. And I see so many professional services firms with one or two real rainmakers at the head who choose to bring in a number of employees who are technically competent but can only do little pieces of the job each. Mm-hmm. And they really perceive it to be their safety net when they bring these people in. Nobody's threatening. They have a bunch of people that are happy to do their little portions of the work of the firm. And when it comes time to plan the exit, they look around and they're stunned because they have nobody that can take them out.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that an awful lot in CPA firms. CPA firms load up on technicians.
Right.
And when the time comes, they're looking at 10 or 12 or 15 people who are technically competent, but they couldn't go out and get a client or keep a customer happy if their life depended
on it. No rainmakers, exactly. Stand by, folks. When we come back, we're going to get John to talk to us about whether you're a prospect for growing a business like that. Do you want to manage something like that? Is that what you want? We'll find out about that right after these messages. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend John Deeney. Back, it's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. John Deeney is our guest. He is the president of Management Performance Network, which is part of the TAB Boards organization. And, John, tell us a little bit about TAB Boards.
Yeah, TAB Boards is the alternative board is a group or a network of independently owned operations around the country in about 100 cities. We're based out of Denver. And we put small business owners into peer groups to function as each other's board, because mm-hmm. typically none of us have them.
Mm-hmm.
They meet once a month for 4 hours, and they help work on each other's companies.
We don't allow
competitors or vendors in there, so you can be completely confidential.
It's highly confident. It has to be highly confidential. And give us that website, John.
It's www.tabboards.com.
T-A-B-B.
My own is
OARDS.com.
Two B's.
Yep, two B's.
And when
they go to that website, they can find out where a TAB Board organization is near them, right?
Absolutely. There's a little lookup in there for any state, any city.
Why don't we show them what a real TAB Board website looks like out in the field? Why don't you give us your website, John?
We're at TABSanAntonio.com.
TAB, T-A-B, SanAntonio.com. Also, can they buy your book, 103 Tips for Better Hiring, there?
Sure.
Okay.
The only two happen to.
Check that out when you get a chance, folks. John, we're talking about building a personal services business and growing it, and you know, ultimately you're going to want to get out. But before we get to that point, this is a big issue. And a lot of people are out there right now. There are a lot of home-based businesses out there right now, John, starting out as personal services businesses. I think you probably know that.
Sure.
But it's happening all over the country, more and more today than even 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. And so what I want to talk about, this is going to take more than one visit for us to get through this topic. So I want you to come back another day and let's work on this some more. But what I want to talk about is, are you even a candidate for growing your business beyond yourself, or for bringing somebody else in? Because it's not for everybody. I mean, everybody. There are a lot of people out there who love delivering personal services. They're good at what they do. They know their stuff. They're good with their customers. They've even got pretty good at pricing their goods and their services, and you know, they got a pretty good little model going. But should they add somebody else? What's it take for these people? What do they have to do to find out if they really are even the kind of a consultant, let's say, that will want more than, will be able to operate with more than one person in their office taking care of clients?
Well, the most obvious thing you have to do is first look at yourself. Hopefully give yourself an honest assessment. A good tool, one we use with clients, and there's many of them, is based on DISC, D-I-S-C. It's behavioral mm-hmm. profile.
Right.
And there's Myers-Briggs and a number of others, but you know, that's a good place to start. If you've never done one, it's an excellent tool, and it will tell you if you are a control freak.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are passionate about managing every single detail of a project yourself and a poor delegator and poor at sharing with others, you may be better off staying solo.
Well, if you find out that you have control tendencies, that's not an indictment for which you'll be sentenced to that for the rest of your life. You can learn some things, but you can't learn how to improve that or how to modify yourself if you don't know that that's the way you are.
Correct. Recognize it first and then decide if you want to change it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be motivated.
Then what?
Saying you have to be motivated. That depends on your time frame. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to sell the company, if you want to see it live on beyond you, if you believe you can build long-term relationships with clients that'll survive your absence, then you're motivated to either grow or locate partners. If you really would prefer, and some people would, that if you're not there, if you're not delivering the services, that you just as soon not see the services delivered or see them go elsewhere. And I know many very successful consultants who are this way. Mm-hmm. And when I say consultant, any professional service, it's
right.
a consulting service, because
mm-hmm.
You're using your knowledge to help others. And they're quite comfortable with the fact that they will do it as long as they wish to do it. When they stop doing it, people are just going to have to find someplace else to get those services.
But as a 100% extension of themselves, which is what they are,
right.
they've got to make they've got to be able to leverage their time somehow so that they can, in addition to making a living, they can make a retirement.
Well, unless you can figure out how to make enough money so that the day you walk out the door, you don't have to worry about it anymore.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. You've got to do both of those, and being able to charge enough for personal services to make a living is challenging enough. For you to be the only rainmaker, let alone, you know, creating enough revenue that you can not only take care of yourself now, but you take care of yourself in your retirement.
True, and
it's tough.
There's the safety factor, too.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
You know, do you owe it to your clients to have a backup?
Right.
You know, if you fall down the steps and break your ankle, are you leaving a bunch of people who are dependent on you without services?
Right. John, we're going to have to stop it for now, but as you can see, folks, we've got a lot more to talk about, and John's the guy to do it. With us, John. Will you come back real soon and continue this discussion with us?
That'd be great, Jim. I'd love to.
John Deaney, ladies and gentlemen, with Tab Boards, and that's tabsanantonio.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Thanks, John. See you later.
Thank you, Jim.
Quick break. Right back with...
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.